Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Raise your hand if you believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I hope that's everybody in here, because God does love you. That's one of the things that I know. The one thing I know is that God loves you and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, there's another fact out there, and that I believe that at one point in everybody's life, they had a mother. Biologically, that's just the way things happen. Now, I know some people's mothers are not around anymore. Some people's mothers are estranged. The relationship is broken in there. But I also know that people step into our lives to be that maternal figure for us in that time. And so the other third thing I know is that not only can you never be separated from the love of God, not only do I know that you have a mother at some point in your life, but I also know that you are loved by someone on this earth. Someone stepped in for that maternal role, or someone who was your mother who actively loves you, who is showing you the love of God. Now, the fourth thing that I know is that at some point in your life, and some of you are still in that point, and you may be 85 years old, and you may be 2 years old, that this inevitable truth happens, that you look at your mother, possibly your father, and you say, "You have no idea what's going on in this world. You don't know anything, Mom. Get off my back." By the way, there's going to be some cute pictures going through here, and just celebrate those love. But there's an inevitable point in everyone's life where you get to this stage and you just say, "Mom, you don't know squat." As though we're the first people that ever lived this thing we call life. That we, you know, we go forward and your mom takes you aside and says, "Now, son, daughter, I want to talk to you about so-and-so." You know, we've had these hard conversations as the parents, and most of the time the reaction you kind of get is, maybe rolling of eyes, maybe something along the lines of, "Oh, Mom, I already knew that." And then they go back to their room and they're on Google saying, "Is what she said true?" You know, I'm not exactly sure that that's the case. And I can admit now that I'm a 28-year-old. I look back at my teenage years, perhaps, sometimes my elementary school years, and I think, why did my mom just not sell me? And I think the answer to that question is she wouldn't have gotten very much from anybody who wanted, you know, to be around. But as I think back on my mom, you know, the interesting thing is two years ago, I preached a Mother's Day sermon where I talked about mother's reflection of God as a soft, nurturing, caring side that we read in the Psalms and we read through different epistles of Paul that talks about not this strong, mighty warrior God. It talks about the loving, nurturing God, the God who wants to hold us close to her bosom, the one who really wants to comfort us through the tough times. And as I thought about my mom, that my mom in the relationship between her and my dad is not the affectionate one. She's not the one who's necessarily going to give you hugs. Now, I remember sitting on her lap when I was young. I remember telling her as a 7-year-old that I love this so much that I was never going to grow up. And she agrees with me that I never grew up, actually. But all throughout that, there was one thing that despite, you know, not the affectionate type mother that you see, despite not the cuddling type mother that you see, despite the not being the pinch you on the cheek, you know, "Go get him, son, you're graduating high school today," something like that. Mom, I knew that she was always going to love me. And I knew that she was going to always push me to be better than I ever could imagine. We read the scripture verse today that is, you know, we are more than conquerors in all things through Christ Jesus who loved us. And there's a thing about a mother, and fathers, this is true too, but there's just something about a mother that it's not only that you are going to win something, it's that you can never lose it. You don't even have to earn it. There's no earning with a mother. As soon as that kid comes out, whatever way they come out, there's this instant connection where you just love that kid. And as a dad, I feel the same thing. And dads around the room, you can tell that, you know, we love our kids. We have that bond with our kids as well. And I know that some relationships between kids and parents are broken. But I believe that even the most evilest of people, that if they went to their mother and said, "Mom, I need you," and were contrite about it, that their mom would totally take them back. Their mom would totally do everything and anything that they can do. But moms are not just soft anymore, right? You know, moms have never been just soft. Moms have usually been the disciplinarians in there. You know, there's this kind of old adage about, you know, wait till your father comes home. And that's supposed to scare people. If you told Arden, you know, "Wait till your father comes home," she'd just laugh. And, you know, when I got home, she'd get in more trouble because, you know, I tend to be, I think, the softer one on her, in some respects. But I And trust me, Lindsay, I've learned a lot from you in terms of actually being firm. Pastors don't tend to be the meanest people in the world, or not mean, but disciplinarians, I guess. But I remember my mom, and one of the most fond memories I have is us sitting in a car, and I just played a soccer game where my mom was our coach, actually. My mom and dad were the coaches, and I was the goalie, and we got beat by, I don't know, it must have been 7-0 or something like that. I mean, it was just a drumming. And so, you know, we were probably 5-6 years old or something, and we didn't really care about winning or losing. We, you know, I obviously did because of what I'm going to tell you next. But most of the kids on my team were having a great time, and they were playing. They were looking forward to the orange wedges and the high C boxes that they were going to get after the game, or maybe going to CC's or something. And so we were funneling through the line afterward, you know, the obligatory shake hands. And everyone, you know, we knew people on the opposite team. They went to the same schools as we did, and so we were joking with them and laughing going through the line. And I went through the line, and I was just mad. I've told you before that I don't like to lose, and it was way worse earlier in life than it is now. I just didn't like to lose, and so I got in the car with my mom, who was driving me home. My dad was taking my brother to another game after that, and as we're sitting there, my mom starts the car, and I said, I just can't believe those people, and I didn't use the word people, on the other team, and she said, well, why, what's wrong? And I said, when we went through the line, every one of them looked at me and shook my hand and said, good game, loser. Good game, jerk. Good game, moron. All this kind of stuff, which was totally false. I made the entire thing up. As she was appalled, and she said, well, why did they say that? And I said, I don't know. And so through this kind of stream of consciousness as we're sitting there, she instantly figures out that I'm lying. That my pride has hurt so bad that I want to disparage this other team and I want to make them look bad and I want my mom to still think that I'm the winner in her eyes. I want her to think that I'm there. And so me, I'm searching out for this loving mom. I'm searching out for the mom who's going to take me aside and said, oh, you're not a loser, baby. It's okay if you got beat 7-0 and you let in all those goals, you know, the kind of mom, something like that. And instead I got a loving mom. Instead I got the mom who looked at me and said, no, David, did they really say those things? And when your mom looks at you that way, you just can't say no. And so I said, no, mom, they didn't say those things. And she said, well, why did you make those up? And I don't know, I'm just mad. I don't want to lose. I just don't like those guys. And she said, well, most of those guys are your friends at school. And I said, I know they're my friends at school. And I'm just mad right now. And so I got this reaction from my mom that I had not seen in my 6 years of life so far. And she takes me and holds my hands and says, all right, we need to pray. And so in the car right there after the soccer game, my uniform and my cleats and everything, she takes my hands and she says, dear God, we both want to pray for our sins. And I want you to, please, Lord, forgive us for lying. And please, Lord, forgive us for everything else that we've done. Amen. And I remember this distinctly because the word we was in there. And it was not, dear Lord, David, please don't send him to hell for doing this. You know, it was not, dear Lord, he's going to know what a spanking looks like when he gets home. And please help him to heal afterward. It was, dear Lord, I recognize that I was young once too. Dear Lord, I recognize that my son is going to make mistakes. Dear Lord, I recognize that this is not the best choice he could have made. But dear Lord, I love him so much that I'm going to walk with him through this, and I'm going to comfort him, and I'm going to love him through this. But he needs to know what's right from wrong. He needs to know what's going on in the world. I remember another time with my mom that it was during Christmas, and the May before, my mom had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And it's always hard to hear that with anybody, but when your mom comes up and says, you know, I just found out I have cancer. And I was probably, I think, a freshman, and I think I was a sophomore in college at the time. And to all of a sudden have this thought of that my mom might not be around next Mother's Day, and she might not be present with us, and I may not get to talk to her after again. And I didn't know what she was going to go through. I had no idea about breast cancer treatments at all, and she wasn't very open with it about it. She's not open with her feelings as much, and so I didn't really try and talk to her about it. And I kept on thinking that every card I wrote, every Christmas card, every Mother's Day card I wrote, instead of being, dear mom, I love you, David, you know, or something like that, which I'm sure most of you mothers got some kind of card today that had three words on it, you know, here you go. Instead, they became these long diatribes of how much she had meant to me and how much she had pushed me and how much she had loved me. But I don't think I ever got how much my mother taught me about God until I got a book from her on Christmas Day that year. And the title of the book was called There's Greatness Within You, My Son. And since then, I've read it through a couple times, and it's attached to it was this note. And started out saying, I know I'm not warm and fuzzy. I know I'm not the most emotional woman in the world. I know that I may not have told you some of these things in the past, but there's one thing that you probably already know that I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm proud of you. I love you. And you are going to do great things in this world. And I know that because you're my son. And regardless of what you do and the choices you make, you'll always be my son. And I'll always love you. I remember that card distinctly, because it shows me so much about the nature of God, that the one going through the suffering, the one going through the tribulation, the one who possibly looks down on us and says, you know, they're not making the right choices, is the one who loves us through it, who pushes us through it. Because the one thing about God is that you never read in the scriptures that simply God just loves you. There's always some kind of distinction after that of, I love you, but I want you to be the best that you can be. And as my mom is telling me that she loves me, and she's telling me, you will do great things. And it's not that the great things are going to earn the love. It's because you are my beloved that you will go on and do great things. Because I see part of you in me, and I know I'm proud of myself. And so therefore, I have tried to raise you the best that I possibly can for you to go on and love other people. To make this world a better place. To change the environment that's going on. Now, a lot of people can tell you that. I stand up and tell you that kind of stuff. I try and push you. The church tries to push you. But when a mother tells you, son, you can do it. When the mother tells you, this is what I expect of you. There's just something that clicks inside of you. Because you have a hard time looking at your mom or your maternal figure. And when they ask you to do something, it's a hard thing to say no. So how much does your mom remind you of God sometimes? On one hand, how often do we look at God and say, you don't know squat? How often do we look at God and say, I already know that, and then we go Google it and we find out God was right. Or we live through it and we find out God was right. How many times does God love us when we make horrible decisions? How many times does God tell you, you can do it? I believe in you. You are my daughter. You are my son. And I'm your mother God. See, God's not a softie either. Just like your mom's not a softie. God expects a lot from us. But it's not that we're conquerors. It's not that we win God's affection. We've never done anything to win God's affection. There are times that we make God so insanely proud by just simply the smallest gesture. There are times that we feel God's love for us in just the smallest of things. But that doesn't buy God's love. Because God's love for us existed at the very beginning. From the very moment you were created. And so when we say we're more than conquerors, it means that you don't have to win anything. Because there's something so much stronger than winning. It's never losing. And so with God, we never lose. Even when we don't live up to the expectations that he sets for us, we're always welcome back. We can always be the prodigal son or daughter. Because we have a God who loves us enough that even when things are not going the way he would like, he still writes us a note and says, I'm proud of you. I love you. You are going to do great things in this world. Not because you're going to do great things and I'm going to love you, but you are going to do great things because I love you. And everything I look at you, I will be proud of because you are my son and you are my daughter. So I hope that you have told your mother how important she is. I hope that you have told your wife how important she is. I hope that you have looked at your grandmother, your maternal figures in your life, your nanny, anybody who takes care of you like that,
who has pushed you to be so much better than you ever could have been just by yourself. And even when you didn't live up to that, has loved you all the way through.
And so the interesting part is that last week I told you I was going to talk about the capital campaign while talking about money as little as possible. And so Mother's Day falls upon the capital campaign sermon series. And I'm not going to talk about money. And you can all celebrate that fact that I'm not going to talk about money. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about grace. And I'm talking about pushing people. Because the image of a mother plays so much, so strongly. Some of the earliest texts by Christian authors would refer to the church as their mother. You've often heard of a ship captain who will kind of say she to his ship. You know, we hear, you know, all this kind of female reference for things, for their cars. You know, she's a beauty. You know, guys will never go out to their Mustang and say, he is great, isn't he? You know, something like that. They'll always go to the car and say, yeah, she's a beaut. And the church has been referred to the same way. And I, you know, in an era when these Christian authors were writing, it was very paternalistic that family bloodlines flowed through the paternal side, much as they do today. The last name was, you know, it's just like Lesnar will carry on, you know, different things like that. And for these people to call the church the mother, which is not the strong image in the culture, it's a weak image. It's a one that they tend the kids, they have the kids, they feed the kids, and otherwise, you know, they're kind of useless in society, according to which was totally not true in the day, just as it's not true today. And so they call the church their mother. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think they had this image of a mother? Was it just simply because we can claim it as our baby? You know, we can go out to the church, we can prop up beside the church and say, isn't she beautiful? Don't you like this? Let me clean a little bit off there. Or do you think it was that they actually knew the value of a mother? You think that value of a mother has persisted from the beginning of time, that people have always known that we can always be welcome back here, that we'll always find a challenge here, that we'll always find our biggest fans here. Many of you keep coming back and keep coming back because hopefully you're involved in a small group that is your church community. Hopefully you find challenging and peaceful resources in this worship service. You've volunteered in a different area that has pushed you beyond your limits of faith, that has pushed you beyond your limits of time and schedule and money. Hopefully you found that in this church, that you can prop yourself up next to the church and say, this is my baby. This is my mom. This is a church family that pushes me beyond any normal limits of human society. That they push me in faith, they push me in service, but out of the other side, they love me through that, and I feel God's love even more through that. I show up to church every week because I know that I'm going to leave feeling restored and feeling peaceful and feeling hopeful again. The stories I often hear sound so much like when I used to sit with my mother, and I used to sit there and tell her, I'm never going to grow up, and she'd say, yeah, you probably will. And I'd sit there and say, no, I can't do my calculus homework. And she'd say, let me help you through it. And I'd sit there and say, I don't like to lose. And she said, you'll never lose, no matter what happens. And then through all this, she would still say, I'm proud of you. You can do it. Keep trying. I'm not going to let you quit. I'm not going to let you fail. And the most beautiful stories of that I hear are out of Sunday school classes. They're out of disciple Bible studies. They're out of helping out with children's Sunday school classes. They're out of this community of a church family that we call church, that we call Stonebridge United Methodist Church, that come together. And so when people are on bed rest, when people are sick in the hospital, when people can't come to work, when people need house renovations, when people need money to pay for mortgages, when people need all this different stuff, they end up going to their small group, and their small group says, let me love you through this. Let me be there for you. Let me help you out. All these different examples. They come to the bridge, they come to celebration service, and they leave knowing that even if they're not as connected as they want to be to their church family, that at the very least, God loves them more than you would ever think. Because sometimes it's hard without that community to feel that. It's hard without a mother to know what that is. There's a reason why when you go on Oprah and say, well, what's our Dr. Phil? And they say, what's wrong with you? Tell me about your mother. Is a huge psychological thing because a mother plays a lot on us. And so when they ask you the question out in the community of
Where do you go to church? It's essentially the same question. Because we're being formed when we come here. We're being formed because we're listening to the image of God. We're listening to the Word of God. We're actively seeking out the Word of God, and we are participating in the mission of God. And that is forming us. It's pushing us beyond our limits of what we think we're capable of. Just like a mother. And so we're going to watch a video now of ways that people have been pushed, ways people have been comforted, ways people have been loved by their mother church.
So Megan and I first visited Stonebridge United Methodist Church some 13 or 14 years ago when it was still meeting in Dowell Middle School. And before we made the decision to join, I actually went to at least one choir rehearsal because I knew from previous experience that being in the music ministry was going to be a major part of my experience at whatever church I was a member of. And since that time, the music ministry has given me an opportunity to fulfill my obligations to the church by sharing my gifts and my talents and my service. We've done things beyond these walls. We've ministered to a number of people outside of McKinney. And it's hard to completely summarize what it means in my life to be a part of the music ministry here at this church. Suffice to say that it is where I connect. It is where I share. It is where I choose to make a difference in my life and in the lives of people around me.
I love what the church has done. Love certainly what studying the Bible has done for me and my family, but particularly how close I've become to those that I study with, both Pastor John, of course, and the many men in our Bible study group, to come to know Christ in a more personal and loving way, but also to come to love my brothers in Christ and to watch one another's journey, be there to support, strengthen, empower, encourage one another has been a beautiful joy, what I would call collateral blessings in studying God's Word here at Stonebridge.
Back in probably 1999, I was looking for a church to go to, and I found Stonebridge, and I'm Methodist, and I really liked it because when I went to it, it was a good mixture of the traditional elements of Methodism in the services, and then it was contemporary as well. And I'd tried some of the other churches around McKinney, and that's what brought me back, was because when I left the service, I felt good. I felt positive, and I felt happy, and my job at the time was a hospice social worker, and when I left, that's what kept me going through the week, was going to church on Sunday and feeling good about what I was doing, and my faith in God just helped me, and I think Stonebridge helped renew my faith every week. So fast forward about 2 years, and we had a son named Stephen, and after he was about 15, 16 months old, we realized that he had stopped progressing. He wasn't developing speech, and his social skills were impaired, and he had some other sensory issues and behavior problems. He had transition problems, and despite all those problems, we enrolled him at Sunshine Kids, and they worked with us with him. He was two, and they worked with us. They worked with a therapist, and they were able to keep him here and help him to succeed. So we found out eventually that our son had an autism spectrum disorder. And when I found out that Stonebridge was going to start upward basketball, I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity for him to try a sport in what I figured was going to be a comfortable environment for him, a familiar environment, and also a Christian environment. And I was hoping that he would get to play and also be accepted amongst his peers and the community, despite his autism. And I had to reach out. I mean, it took a lot of courage, I would say, on my husband and my part to even try him in a sport. And when I contacted the people that were in charge of it, it was nothing but welcoming arms. The people and that were involved with this program were just so helpful and so accepting of him that I never felt uncomfortable, and he didn't either. And like I said before, I think we had to put ourselves out there. We had to ask for help, and we had to ask for accommodations for him. And most of all, we had to ask for acceptance by everybody that he could play despite his differences due to the autism. And the people of Stonebridge and the people that work with Upward, they gave us everything we asked for. And that's why we keep coming back to this church and keep coming back, and we'll continue to be involved with the programs here.
God loves you. Go ahead. Sure, go ahead. I just want to say that God loves you more than you think. Your church loves you more than you think. Your mother and father love you more than you think. And parents, your children love you more than you think. And we're coming together to push ourselves even farther in that love. So I want to pray for our offering and invite our ushers to go ahead and come collect our offering. Gracious God, we thank you on Mother's Day that you are ever present through the women around us who are mothers to us, whether they are a mother or like a mother. They have shown us your love, and so let us continue to show them the love today. Let us show all those who support us our love, and the offerings that are received, bless them for your use in the world and not our own. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.